Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
It's ocean madness, all right. Sailors call it aqua dementia. The deep down crazies, the wet willies, the screaming moist.
You're an ocean, you're an ocean. Settle down, what's the commotion? I'm an island, but you're an ocean. It's a stormy sea of love and emotion. You got me suspended motionless in time.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. Special edition of the big show today. We're talking to the class of 2026 for the Scuba Diving Hall of Fame there in the Cayman Islands. By the way, Amos Nacham is standing by, or Amos Nacham, Nacho, he answers everything. We've had him on, but he's going to join us in just a bit. And also, we have someone standing by from Malaysia. It's like 4 o'clock in the morning. He's that dedicated to be on our goofy little show and share his love of diving with you. So those guys are coming up shortly. However, we have one of our inductees right now, Thomas Cook, who is the founder of Aqua Hands. And we're going to talk with Thomas here, Willie and Steve, but he doesn't speak. He uses sign language to communicate because he's deaf or can't hear. He can hear, but he can't talk, right? He's nodding his head. I got that much because I can see him on YouTube.
And I don't hear you at all. I don't speak at all. I don't hear you at all.
Then he's one lucky SOB then, isn't he? There, Jeff is interpreter spelling that out. But I don't think we've ever done this on Scuba Radio before, but it's good to know. And I love his expressions. Because I'm getting everything he's saying just by watching his face. So Willie, why don't you set this up beyond, what he does as a founder of Aqua Hands and what it is and all that kind of stuff. And then we'll dive a little deeper into his induction into the Hall of Fame.
So Thomas was one of the candidates that the board looked at. Stephen and myself and the rest of the board talked very much about this because he's a pioneer. He's doing something, he's a trailblazer, he's doing something that's never been done before. He's a paddy course director that teaches, of course, instructors and all the way down to water divers. And, he is taking what some people might perceive as a disability and turned it into an incredible advantage or an asset. And him and I had a long conversation at the DEMA show, and I even gave myself a challenge that I'd like to introduce him at the ceremony this fall with sign language, because it has the ability for every diver to change the way they dive. If you just knew, I think we talked about 25 standard hand signals, you could actually communicate underwater. You wouldn't be able to say, how big is that fish over there under that rock, but you'd be able to communicate far better than just up and down and out of air, things like that.
Well, so, Willie, I got to stop you. You said you were talking to him at the DEMA show. I walked by you guys. I thought you were just having a game of charades. Do you actually know a lot of sign language yourself or what?
I learned a few things.
Yeah.
Applause.
Okay.
If I get this one right, shark, I think was this.
Yeah.
Shark.
Yeah.
There you go. Yep.
Shark. I've got the other way. Yeah. Shark. Yep. Shark. Shark. And
I know bull shark. Yeah. If you know what I mean.
Yeah.
That was a whole nother thing. But I don't know if that's an official sign language thing. I just would do that just to annoy people. But I mean, but you're right. I mean, when you're underwater, you can't hear anyway. And the more sign language you know, the more you can communicate with your fellow divers. I always thought that was important.
He told me, and I'm not sure that Jeffrey's going to interpret some comments here from him, but he told me that during his classes, he moves so much faster through the material because, especially if you're doing an IDC or a teaching instructor class, you have these briefings, you go down, you do it, then you do these evaluations, and you go back down to the next person. He can just do all that underwater.
Nice.
There's no surface interval. If a student does something wrong, he can explain it to them what they did wrong, and they can do it all over again. And I mean, what an amazing ability. It's really truly making a very unique situation where you take something that most people, like I said, see as a disability, and I see it as an incredible asset, an incredible advantage. But he's a great course director.
Well, congratulations to you for sure there, Thomas. And Steve, I want to bring you in on this as well, because you know, working there with the Hall of Fame. The other thing was the dive against debris that he's involved with. You want to talk about that a little bit, Steve? Or what do you think?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, just, you know, over the last few years, our goal has been to make the Hall of Fame more international from all corners of the planet, and also and look for people that are doing, you know, just not what people expect, and what Thomas has done with the Aqua Hands, and then to go just beyond that, and all of the other, whether it's you know, diving for debris, or you know, the amount of people that he's introduced either to environmental causes or just to scuba diving in general. It's surprising that more of this hasn't happened sooner. So I really hope this is a springboard for even more people to learn to scuba dive and to not see it as a limit, and actually to see it as an opportunity.
Well,
as they're much better equipped under the waves than I am, for sure, to communicate.
Well, he's made his challenge a superpower, it sounds like to me.
Well said.
Dives against debris. I've heard of that, but what are finathons, Tom? I mean, can you explain what a finathon is?
Sure, yeah. So the finathon is something that I started as a Project Aware course, and I took it with me and my daughter, my oldest daughter, and I think she was 11 or 12 at the time. And we fundraised over $5,000, and to battle against shark finning. And so we made the donation, raised a lot of money. And so we had people swim in laps in the pool, swim in the ocean. And everybody that swim paid $10, like $10 per lap or $5 per lap. So it took all the money that we got, $5,000 in total, and to learn a two patio wear program to help lobby against shark finning wherever it was still legal at the time. So that's what we did with the money. That was back in 2017,
yeah.
2016, something like that. And then the same year, it just kind of progressed along, and we did a lot of the dive against debris projects. When we went to the Bahamas, we had a cancellation because of the weather was really bad. And so let's do some other kind of fun dives. And we were trying to figure out where to do. So we went around the hotel area, and there was a boat right there that we just jumped off of, and we swam right around the front of the shoreline, in front of the hotel, picked up all the debris, all the trash that was inside of the out of the ocean right in front of the hotel, and we did it. You know, so we still got to dive, but we picked up all the trash while we were there, and it was a really great time. We've done a lot of things here in Florida as well, in St. Pete, in Tampa. We always have Gasparilla in February. You know, they have people that have all those boats and those parades, and there's all things, people throwing stuff, all these beads go everywhere, they end up out in the ocean.
Yeah,
and after
sharks flying over, off.
Yeah,
he did not do the sign for that. Wait a minute. Jeff is his interpreter. Now he did.
Yeah, there's a lot there's a lot of that too. But we went and cleaned up after the Gasparilla stuff too. So after that was happening, so we just try to do our best and try to do as much as we can to clean up everything and keep it going. I'm from Texas, so I grew up from Texas, but now I live here in Florida. And when I learned how dirty that the Pacific Ocean really was, it's worse than Texas. So then you have to clean it all up, right?
Yeah.
So that's what we tried to do.
Well, congratulations. I mean, it's well-deserved. You're doing an amazing work. And wow, talk about taking a challenge and just turn it into something that's super beneficial for divers around the world. And congratulations to you as being inducted into the class of 2026 for the International Scuba Diving Hall of Fame in the Cayman Islands. All right, hour two is on deck. We got Amos standing by. We're going to check in with our friend from Malaysia. So stay close to the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
You can hear it on Scuba Radio, the world's first scuba diving show. From Captain Ron to Jacques Cousteau, they all love Scuba Radio. On the boat or down below, if you want to stay in the know. If you be pressurized there, you'll want to be there on Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know, what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.